our Savior, all our future is taken care of. We don't have to worry about what's coming next. As Paul Harvey used to say, we know the rest of the story. So it's always a blessing to sing a song like that. Jason, would you mind?
Our Father, we thank you for the night you brought us all together here tonight to hear your word preached. Thank you for a good service we had this morning. We just pray now you bless this time together. We pray that the singing would be a blessing and that the preaching would also be just exactly what we need. And we just pray that you would help us through the rest of this week, help us to live for you. And we pray that this would be the only time that people see Christ in us as when we walk through these doors. We pray that we continue as we leave. And we just pray you bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's go across the page and we'll sing 107.
Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. Come on out here for that. And next Sunday, a full slate of services going on there. February 5, we're going to have our 41st church anniversary. And what we'll do in the morning service, we'll have Sunday school and morning service. Then we're going to have a church dinner. And you're going to bring the food. We'll have good fellowship. And then after that dinner, we'll have another service right after that. And then we will call it a day. But we want to just have a good time of fellowship and go over, the 41 years that God has given us and celebrate what he has done here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And let's see. We have a business meeting coming up on the last Sunday of the month, January 29. We'll do that after the evening service. Got some things we need to take care of there. Our deacons fund is the basket is out there for us today. Let's try to help that out. Kind of low on the funds there. And so if you could just help out, that would be good for the deacons fund. I think that's about all that I got.
Okay.
Hey.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we'll take our chorus books once again and turn on to 129. 129. Until then.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail. Just before we sing the last song, I just want to tell everybody that Andrew is with us here tonight, and he's got a heavy heart because his dad passed away, and that's why he's up here right now. When was it, Andrew? Last Tuesday? Okay. And so we're going to have a word of prayer for him right now, but I don't think his dad was saved, right? Right, Andrew? So that's a... He's got a heavy heart here tonight, and so we need to talk to the Lord about that. And then secondly, this week, and I failed to mention this morning, Chevy Busker was in a very bad car accident, okay, and totaled the car, and she ended up in the hospital. They checked her out, and she's okay, and she actually was back to work today. But totaled their car out, and so, but we can thank the Lord that He spared her life. Someone pulled right in front of her as she was going straight, and that person made a left-hand turn coming the other way, right in front of her, and so right in she went, and she sits real close to the steering wheel because she's small and can't reach the pedals and everything, so quite. Fortunate, you know, and he had called right away about it, and I failed to mention it this morning, But
you mentioned it on Wednesday night, but we
it was kind of late after. Yeah. So that was Shabi Buskirk. All right. So let's have a word of prayer and pray. Thank God for Shabi, and we'll pray for Brother Andrew here. Okay, let's pray right now. Dear God in heaven, I thank you for watching over us and listening to us when we call out unto thee. Thank you for sparing Shavi and getting her through that accident. So I pray that you would help them as they probably have to get another vehicle or something, that you would guide and direct. But thank you for sparing her life. And then help Andrew, Lord, just comfort his heart through the loss of his father. And bring this whole family closer to you through all this somehow, some way. And I pray that you would continue to bless Andrew and his work and his service in a church down there in Florida. And help him to have safety as he travels back home and as they deal with cleaning things up when there's a loss in the home. So help him to be a good testimony to his family and comfort his heart through all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, 131. Stand as we sing.
Domain or behave. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What a church the Thessalonians were. They're a real blessing to the Apostle Paul. But he had to check them out. He had to check them out and make sure that they were walking the way they should. And he sent one of his very faithful men, Timothy, to check them out and make sure they were walking in the right way. And they were. The report back was very good. But we're kind of right in the middle of it. And some of the things that are taking place here in chapter 2. Did I say chapter 2? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to be starting in verse 14. Some of the things we're going to see here, I would hope they are evident here at Ray Street Baptist Church as well. As well as any good Bible-believing fundamental church. So as we go through this, I think it'd be good for us all to just kind of inspect ourselves and say, am I like these people that were at Thessalonica? And if not, then I need to be like them. And if you are, we'll just thank God that you're at that spiritual level. And that's just a wonderful thing. All right, so we're going to start here at verse 14. And we're going to see that suffering from the lost is the proof that the Thessalonians received the word of truth. You know, when you receive the truth, you're going to get some suffering from this world. Because this world doesn't appreciate the things of the Lord like we do. And so it kind of turns around to be a proof that I really belong to the Lord. And I'm on the right track and we're following the truth. Verses 14 and 16. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. So he's referring to the area of Jerusalem where Christianity first started and so forth. And they have the same Christianity in Thessalonica, a Greek city, a Gentile city, like the same faith of the Jews that got saved down in Jerusalem there. And so it says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. And here's the reason. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, the Gentiles living in Thessalonica, even as they have of the Jews. Down there in Jerusalem, when you got saved, you had the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees all against you. Verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So what's happening here? Suffering from the loss is the proof that the Thessalonians received the word of truth, the same word of truth that started down in Jerusalem and then spread out by the apostles, Paul being one of them, spread the gospel to the Thessalonians. I'd like to say this. This is why much of Christianity today is suspect. All right? What do I mean by that? Because much of Christianity is received by the world rather than rejected. It seems like Christianity today has conformed itself in such a way that the world doesn't have a problem with it today. And quite frankly, the world should have a problem with your Christianity. In other words, they should be saying, you know what? What you have is so different, but it seems today that Christianity looks much like the world. And that's a sad commentary. Just as the Jewish saints suffered from Jewish unbelievers down there in Judea, so the Gentile saints there in Thessalonica are suffering from Gentile unbelievers in their city as well. And so the apostle here, the apostle Paul, charges his own fellow countrymen, the Jews, of giving him a lot of trouble when he says down here in verse 15, in verse 14, talks about his own countrymen, that would be the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus, their prophets, and they persecute us. Persecute who? Paul, the apostle Paul and all the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are contrary to all men. In other words, the Jews are contrary to all the apostles and those who are following the gospel. Why? Because they don't want the Gentiles to hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And it says, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You know what? When they persecute the Apostle Paul and try to keep his mouth shut about preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, they are getting themselves into big trouble with God. Whenever anybody is trying to keep the gospel from going forth, they're ending up in trouble with God. Now, notice in verse 16, what were they doing? Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders down there in Jerusalem didn't want Paul offering a gospel of salvation to the Gentiles that they might be saved. And as a result, they were filling up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. God is going to end up punishing the Jews for being contrary to the gospel. They really should be the ones that are all for it, because the Lord came out of Judea. He came out of Bethlehem. He was the son of David. They should be all happy about it. They saw the works of the Lord Jesus Christ among them and everything. And here's the Apostle Paul taking this message, not only to the Jews, but now to the Gentiles. And they're saying, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't take this message to the Gentiles. And Paul says, you know what's happening? They're filling up their sins all way, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And the Jews, ever since Christ came, have been having nothing but trouble all way. By the way, do you see that word all way in there? That is an old English word. Most of the new versions change it to always. That is not right. God spoke and said all way. It's an old English word. I don't know. Did you know that there is such a word as always? All right. As opposed to always. Always means at all times. Well, they aren't filling up their sins at all times. But always means all the way. Like how long? All the way to the very end. They're filling up their sins all the way. The New King James Version changes it to always. Here's just one reason why I'm against the New King James Version. All right? You stick with your King James Version. They don't change it. They leave it there. The moment you put an S on there, you're actually changing the meaning of the word, and that's not the word God gave us. The word God gave us is the word always without an S. Now, I know it's an old English word, and we don't use it like that today, but it would be good for us to understand old English and use it and continue to use it the way we're doing here. So what's happening here? The Jews are filling up their sins all the way to the end, and they're going to end up being judged to the uttermost, as it says there, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. The Jewish community has been against the gospel of Jesus Christ ever since the very beginning. And it's been a problem to them right from the time of Christ right up till now. Thank God, though, someday, according to Romans 11, they will come to an understanding of Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and what a wonderful day that will be. But the problem is, until then, they're filling up their sin all the way to the end. And they're going to have trouble, which they have had all through these centuries, right down to our very day today. And why is it like that? They killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets, and they just are contrary to the gospel constantly. Oh, that they would come to know the Lord as their Savior. You know what, folks? We as Christians, we ought to pray for Israel. We should pray for the Jews to come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. Every time one Jew gets saved, it's such a blessed thing to see. And to watch when someone who is of the Jewish community and Jewish culture and everything trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they become a great witness and a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that more of them would come to know the Lord as their Savior. But they seemed to be contrary to the gospel, and they gave the Apostle Paul trouble right there. All right, just something to think about, that little word "alway." All right, if you get a dictionary out, you will see what I'm saying. A brand new dictionary will have the word "alway" and say it should be "always." No, it shouldn't be "always." It is a word, and it needs to be left the way it is. All right, so in verse 17, we see the Apostle Paul looking forward to going to see the Thessalonians. Verse 17, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." I see Paul's pastoral love for the Thessalonians here in verse 17. You see a lot of this so far. It seems like I've been talking about this a lot, how Paul as a minister to the Thessalonians just loves these people. And he nurses them, and he's a father to them, and he cherishes them. That's what we've studied already in chapter 1 and chapter 2. The book just seems to be a book of Christian love between Paul and this church and the people in this church. And quite frankly, I think that's a good thing that a pastor should have for his church. He should have a love for all of his people. And they too should have a love for him and his ministry in return. So that's kind of what the book is about in the very beginning here. He wanted to go and see them, but he couldn't. He was taken away from them for a short time. But he says, it's not in heart that I'm not there. My heart is there. My heart is with you. And one of these days I'm going to be there bodily as well to see you. But right now I can't because Satan hindered us. There you see God's permissive will in allowing Satan to hinder the Apostle Paul from getting to the church so that he might teach the people some things and so forth. You and I need to realize that God knows everything that's going on. He knows. So often, as a minister and a pastor of a church, you see things going on in the church and you ascribe it to Satan's work. And you say, oh boy, the devil is really hard at work. You know, he's just hindering this and hindering that person from really getting right with God and serving the Lord and everything. But you know what? We do have to remember, God knows. God knows as well. And we need to learn to leave things in his hand. And Paul's going to do this as we go through the next chapter here. He's going to actually leave it in someone else's hands to go and to do what he could not do because he wasn't being allowed to go there himself. And so he looks forward to his coming there to be with them. And he says, verse 19 and 24, "What is our rejoicing, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" What love he had for them, you know? What is our crown of rejoicing? What makes me happy, Paul says? The fact that I'm going to see you Thessalonians in the presence of the Lord when he comes one of these days. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to all of us being together in heaven as well. I don't want a single person who attends Ray Street Baptist Church to be left behind. I want everybody to go together with us when the Lord comes back. And each one of the chapters in the Thessalonians ends with some reference to the coming of the Lord for the church. And notice how he just says, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Ye are our glory and joy." And folks, that's what I pray for. sometimes, I've just had more time to lay in bed and pray because I can't always get up and do anything. And I'm just finding myself thanking God for all the people in the church and praying for each one of you individually and just thanking the Lord for each one. And then also praying for some that I'm in my mind think, oh Lord, they're just not walking as they should, and just help them to get closer to you. And I pray like that. And that's what Paul's doing here. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? Ye are our glory and joy. And folks, that's how I feel about it. And looking forward to the day we all get gathered together with the Lord. Then we won't have to just wait till Sunday to get together. We'll be together all the time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy that's going to be. That's going to be a wonderful day. All right, we go into chapter 3 here, and we see Paul's care continues right on in chapter 3 here. Paul's care for the Thessalonians. What does he do? Verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, he just wanted to be there in the worst way. When we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And he's saying that because right now he's at Athens with Timotheus. And there's one other guy too. I don't know if it's Silas or somebody else, but there's another guy there as well. And so he said, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Let me ask you, can you just shout it out loud? Who's the tempter? Yep. And there's the devil again, you know, working in the midst of a good Bible-believing church. And just keep it in mind, he's not going to stop with us. He's not going to, well, I'm not going to bother Ray Street Baptist Church. They're too strong for me. Oh no. The devil, the tempter, will try his hardest to make trouble for Ray Street Baptist Church. You can count on it, all right? But what's he doing here? Paul's care for the Thessalonians. Paul didn't just send anybody in his place. He sent a very faithful minister. His name is Timothy. And he just didn't send anybody. He sent Timothy to go and check out the church of Thessalonians and make sure that everybody was doing okay and coming along all right. And so Paul was concerned, though. He had a concern. Why did he want to get there? And why was the fact that Satan hindered him from getting there a problem? Because he was concerned that the people might be tempted to draw away from the message that they had given them, and that his labor in their midst might be in vain. So Paul was concerned that the afflictions that they were going through, that they were enduring, might move them away from the faith. And, you know, this can happen. When people see trouble coming and the devil works on them real hard, sometimes they can get discouraged. And they will start getting disappointed. The first thing you see them doing is staying away from the fellowship of the saints. They may stop reading their Bible, stop praying like they should, allow the pressures and all these afflictions to get them down, depressed, and things like that. And so he wanted to encourage them in the midst of their afflictions. And he said, I want you to know that tribulation is not an unknown subject to you guys. We told you when we were there and gave you the gospel and you received it as the word of God that it was, that tribulation will come along with it. And it does. And it will until we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, guess what? No more trials and sorrows. Remember that song that Jason and I sang this morning? You know, where we'll never grow old. The trials and the sorrows, they'll go away. They'll go away. But till then, guess what? There are going to be troubles. Times will come, things are going to be hard. So tribulation was not an unknown subject to Paul's converts. He told them about it. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And you know what? That's the best thing to do. Don't be telling people when they get saved, there will be no more problems or troubles. Oh boy. Sometimes when you get saved, it seems like a lot of troubles come your way. And that can be a very discouraging thing. So that's why we need to have good ministers like Timothy come in among us and encourage us. First of all, tell us, you will have trouble and tribulation, but the Lord will help you through it. He'll give you the strength you need to get through it. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Here we see Barnabas. His name means consolation. Barnabas, comfort, comfort. And what does he do? Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You know, Barnabas didn't keep it away from the new believers. He said, you know what? It's a wonderful thing to get saved and to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have trouble along the way till we get to the kingdom of God. There's going to be trouble. He didn't hide that from them, and I wouldn't hide that from you either. As we go down the road together, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? There's going to be trouble spots. There's going to be times of affliction. This world, first of all, isn't going to like you because you live so differently from them. You're following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're living a godly, holy life. And they don't like to see that. So they're going to give you trouble for it. They're going to make fun of you and persecute you and things like that. But understand, that's the normal thing. And we almost should expect it. And it's actually a token of proof that we belong to the Lord. And they who are the ones that are being contrary to it, they're in trouble with God because they're keeping the truth from going out. And so just be aware of that. And the Apostle Paul here wanted them to be sure of the faith that they were in. Look, I'm back now at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. And who? He sent Timothy. Timothy, you go on down there to Thessalonica and find out how the saints are doing. I want you to report back to me. Are they all right? Or has the devil, you know, really gotten to them? Have they left the faith? Or are they still being faithful to the Lord? For this cause I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. And what I want to say here is, you know, Paul wanted to be sure of their faith. This is something many pastors refuse to do today. Thus, a lot of goats get into the membership. And by goats, I mean unsaved people get into the membership of a church. Why? Because they do not challenge the faith of some. And to make sure that they really are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than just following, you know, a bandwagon type of ideology and, you know, just saying the words, born again and things like that. Do you really have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to know that, Paul is saying. And I can't get there. Satan's hindering me. I'm going to send Timothy down there. Timothy goes down there and he finds out and he comes back to report and say, Paul, they are still faithful. Yes, they're having trouble. They got afflictions. They're being persecuted, but they're standing faithful. And a lot of pastors just don't do this today. And they ought to. And we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. He'll get in there and try and mess up a church if he can. And so we need to make sure that we're working with the people and training them and teaching them so that they know what they believe and they stand for what they believe. And it actually does change their life and it helps them to get through troubles and tribulation and persecution that's going to come their way. Timothy comes back with a good report. Look at verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly. Look at now, there's the word always. Okay? That would be at all times there. All right? The believers there in Thessalonica were always thinking about the Apostle Paul. All right, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. You know what, folks? I rejoice when I see you all living for the Lord. That makes me happy as a minister, as a pastor of a church. That makes me happy. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You know, what do you do at church? Why do you come to church? It ought to be for this. I want to learn more about Jesus. I want to learn more about my faith. I want to know more about what it is all about, this living for the Lord, and what has Christ done for me. And I want to learn my Bible more. What is lacking in your faith, the preachers need to be trying to put it into your life. That's what they're doing. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So Timothy returns with good tidings, and the apostles end up being comforted by that good news, and they're just full of joy. Christians walking with the Lord is good tidings. That's good tidings. Christians not walking with the Lord and not serving him, that's bad. And that'll discourage the minister of the church for sure. But when he hears a good report, or he simply sees the believers living for the Lord and enjoying the things of Christ and so forth, that's good tidings. And Paul was comforted in the midst of his own afflictions on behalf of the Thessalonians' faith. Look there, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul here even says, you know, even I have afflictions and I get distressed too. But when I heard from Timothy that you guys there in Thessalonica are living for the Lord, that just helps me through my own afflictions and my own distress. So you see how that what we do and how we live affects each other. You know, not only the minister to the people, but the people to the minister. And all of us together between ourselves. As we are all living for the Lord, it helps each other to keep on keeping on, even though trouble comes our way. Okay, we just prayed for Brother Bill and his wife. You know, trouble came their way one day, you know. And it's good for them to know that they could call out to their pastor and say, can you pray for my wife? Was just in an accident, you know. And we got the news to you guys, and so you guys were able to pray for her. See, this is how we live together as a company of believers. And it's just so good news when we hear everybody living for the Lord. Richard, it's good to see you in church, isn't it? Isn't it good to see Richard in church? You know, he's been going through some real tough times and he's still going through it. But it's just good to see him still holding on, you know, still holding on. You know what that does? That encourages me in the midst of my troubles. I say to myself, okay, I think I have trouble. He's got trouble too. But look, we're both going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you guys do to me, and I hope I do to you. And to encourage us. And Brother Andrew here tonight, you know, with the things going on in his life. A tough time. But we all have tough times. But we stay faithful to the Lord right in the middle of it, and it's such a blessing to see. So this is what was going on here in Thessalonica, and may it be going on here at Ray Street Baptist Church as well. Are we going to have problems and troubles? We sure are. You sure will. Don't think it's not going to happen. It will happen. But keep on, keep on serving the Lord. And if your faith lacks, get to church and study and learn the Bible and open up your Bible and listen to your pastor preaching and learn things and encourage each other as we serve the Lord together. So Paul was comforted in the middle of his own afflictions because he was watching or hearing the good news about the Thessalonians. And this report spurned Paul onward for the Lord. Look at verse 8. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. And, you know, for now we live. Well, there's a lot in that, you know. I'm just going to keep on going on because you guys are encouraging me. Because ye stand fast in the Lord. And Paul looking forward to seeing them again so he can teach them more. Look at verse 9 and 10. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. And he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. I'm looking forward to coming to see you again. But he gives the reason why. The reason is that, and we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Preacher, preach the word to me, okay? That's what I want. Preach the word to me. Teach me more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to know more of what he's doing for me even right now. Teach me about his present work there in heaven, interceding on my behalf. Talk to me about how he's coming again. Tell me how he will help me through the troubles that are going to come my way. Just help me with anything I lack. And Paul says, I can't wait to get there and see you face to face so that I can perfect that which may be lacking in your faith. And so then 11 through 13, Paul's desire to see them and his prayer for their growth in holiness. Look at what he says here. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Yeah, we know that Satan hindered. Now he's saying, may the Father up in heaven direct our way unto you so that we can get there and see you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as ye do toward, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts, or not establish, I said that wrong. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You know what, folks? Do you see that English word, establish? The New Modern Versions want to change it to establish. New King James changes it to establish. No, it's establish. Establish. We're already established in the faith. And the word establish has reference to a foundation having been set up. And that word does come up in verse 2. Look at verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to give you a foundation. But then later, in verse 13, the Greek word has reference to not establishing something or giving it a foundation, but rather strengthening what's already there. And by changing it to establish, instead of leaving it establish, as our King James Version says, they're changing the whole meaning. We don't need to have, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. That's already been established already through the gospel. But we need to be established or strengthened in our hearts, unblameable in holiness. Don't be changing it to establish. The word establish is a different word. Your King James Bible is the one you should hang on to and don't give it up. You look at the New King James, they want to change this every time. Every time the word establish is there, they change it to establish. Just a moment here. Ralph, question.
Is the word edify in Ephesians the same word or something similar to establish?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
What is your thinking there?
Well, I was just trying to find another word in the King James Bible that was something similar.
Yep.
We've heard about edifying a whole bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Establish is not said very often.
Right. It's an old English word. And in a new dictionary, if you would get a new dictionary, it will say, establish is archaic, not used anymore, and you should use the word establish in its place. That's wrong. That's wrong. No, no. It's an old English word that the King James translators used because it was meant for this situation right here. Establish is to make a foundation. Establish means to strengthen something that's already there. And what do we need strengthened here? To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. That's what needs to be established. Not established. We already got that through Christ. But it needs to be strengthened in holiness before God. In other words, it's something that's ongoing in our life. What is holiness? Holiness. You and I need to be more holy today than we were yesterday, all right? And that's why Timothy was sent, and that's why Paul wanted to get to them face to face so that they might be strengthened in this regard, to in their hearts to be unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming. There's the reference to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And holiness begins with godly love one for another. Right there. As we love each other, we can actually be growing in holiness. And holiness will consummate with our coming with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. We'll be just like him in that day. Till then, we're to be established more and more in holiness before the Lord until he comes. And then when he comes, folks, we will be right where we ought to be. We'll be like him as he is in that day. Next week, I want to go back and I want to look at something here. Do you see verse 11? Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 13. Before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I want to do? God the Father is not a mother. He's not a mother. He's not feminine. Our God is a Father. And there is a great movement going on to try to de-genderize the Bible and neuterize the Godhead. And I intend to talk about that next time we get together, all right? If you lack faith about your Father up in heaven, is he a he or a she? Is God a she or is God a he? We'll find out as we will study the scriptures next time we get together. Okay, well, thank you for paying attention tonight. And I hope these things just encourage you. The thing about trouble and tribulations and how that because he heard the good news of them walking in the faith, it encouraged him. And both of us encourage each other as we go through troubles and trials. And we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. It encourages each other. And hang on to your King James Bible, all right? Don't give it up. You say, oh, some of those words are old. Hey, you know what? Some of those words are, they may be old, but they're the right words. And they'll help you to stay right on the truth and so forth. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for getting us through troubles and trials that come our way, Lord. Thank you for watching over even situations currently going on right now in our church. And I pray that you just help everybody to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep walking with you. And that'll bring joy and happiness to all of us as we serve you in a world that really isn't a friend of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jason, would you come and play the piano for me? I'll sing a song, The Longer I Serve Him. It kind of goes along with what we're talking about here today. It's number 65. If you want to follow along in your chorus book, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Even in the midst of trouble, it's still good to be walking with the Lord.
The longer I serve.